How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Dynamite, John, Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins, go.
Paul, I need clarity on this.
Okay.
So your main event story for Full Gear on Saturday is that John Moxley wants to fight Orange Cassidy, but Orange Cassidy does not want to fight John Moxley. He wants to wrestle him, and not just wrestle him. In a 5-on-1 beatdown, he's doing the ironic shin kicks, and we go to blackout after this crappy overrun, because we have to have another stupid overrun for this thing, with Tony Schiavone saying Orange Cassidy's being defiant of John Moxley. This is after school special level crap. I am sorry. You are the world's greatest brain surgeon. But what you really want to do is dance and teach the people to love through the art of dance. And you're going to eschew all your real talents. I just want to dance, father. And then some eccentric billionaire shows up because your parents were concerned that you'll never make any money being a dancer. But at your one recital, there's an eccentric billionaire in the back of the room who goes, sir, I'm going to give you $1 million to dance. It's just what people want to see a fight. And you're telling us no. Orange Cassidy wants to do his ironic brand of humor. I am baffled. But this is the Moxley program that he's working on.
Let me. Did you watch Collision?
No.
Okay. On Collision, before they aired the November Rain video, which was awesome, and we'll get to that, John Moxley cut a promo. And John Moxley explained that he is here. He's fighting. Him and his team of soldiers are fighting to save AEW. They are fighting their hearts out for these fans who pay their money each and every week to show up and cheer us on. He hates what AEW has become, and he's trying to bring it back to what it was, and he's going to drag everyone by their bootstraps, and that starts with Orange Cassidy. So whether he wants to fight or not, he's going to. This is what he said on the pay-per-view. So I'm watching tonight, and I'm watching one of his soldiers, Claudio, who is fighting for AEW, who is fighting for these fans, and he's fighting against Darby, and he's kicking his ass. Oh.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
I'm baffled because John Moxley is like the best babyface in the world for what he's saying he's going to do. And then you've got Orange Cassidy. John Moxley, I stood up and cheered when Orange Cassidy was doing those little stupid kicks. John Moxley did what every person that's been in AEW for the last 5 years should have done.
He punched
his head off of his body.
They're trying to do a Cool Hand Luke story with the guy who's lightly kicking guys in the shin.
Yeah, they got Jerry Lewis playing Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, no. He's defiant. He's defying the authority of the Death Riders by not fighting. Do we understand the point of professional wrestling is to build a fight? God, I'm watching this and I don't get this viscerally angry at bad wrestling product for the most part, but I am viscerally angry right now, and I don't understand why.
You're not the only one.
Angry.
Curry, who loves AEW, is I think he's ordered every pay-per-view. He's traveled to pay-per-views. We've traveled with him to pay-per-views. We've sat with him at pay-per-views. He's talking about not buying the show because it's bullshit. It's
our
just
main shit. Event is based around a guy. And look, I love the Orange Cassidy gimmick. Don't get me wrong.
I do too.
It's not a bad gimmick. It's fun. It could be evolved into something to make a main event star, in my opinion. I've been saying this for a long time. They probably should have belted him when he was at his most popular.
They did it last year with Moxley.
Yes. Now, your build to your main event is you're going to get to see a guy put his hands in his pockets and duck punches. Woo! Shut up and take my money.
In my pockets, and one of them is holding a peace sign.
Shut up. this is a no Alanis zone. I'm
baffled.
Does anybody want to see? Maybe people want to see. Yes, save us, Orange Cassidy, from this guy who's being a badass. Please.
I don't get it. And then like everything else on the show, like I'm not sure. We're gonna go through this lineup, and I'm not sure like what I'm supposed to care about, what I'm supposed to be interested in.
Don't worry, Paul. The C2 starts next week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to like who?
What? Yes. What's your favorite match in the A block?
I don't know. Okada. He's wrestling somebody. I think maybe next week, maybe not. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, but it starts next week.
You know what my favorite match on this show was, Paul? It was the Luchadors from CMLL that they advertised. Yeah.
They advertised. I checked AEW's website at, I believe, I want to check what time I sent the notes to Garrett. It was 5:00 Eastern. So 3 hours before the show started, they were advertising the stars of CMLL will appear. I didn't see them. Maybe they had their masks off and they were the guys that were trying to break up the brawl. Oh, no, nobody broke up the brawl. I don't know.
Nobody broke up the brawl.
Maybe they were in the concourse when Jericho was wandering around.
Because brave Orange Cassidy wants to get his ass beat by five people, and nobody, and the conglomeration is just standing there. Oh, well, he told us not to go out.
And Excalibur flat out said, this is going to require the locker room to have an organized.
Yes.
We're all thinking this.
You know, like they did in the parking lot where they stood like a bunch of dopes.
Forget all the bad booking. I mean, Mike, he got almost got his number today.
Oh.
So why don't you just move to Charlotte then?
Yeah. Enjoy the rain in August.
Yeah.
No, I'm livid at this whole. Okay.
Hard to hold a candle in that cold August rain.
So the conglomeration won't go out there to save him. How about somebody else? How about the other nerds that were standing there in the parking lot with like pipes and stuff who were ready to, who got fooled because they went through another entrance?
What about Garcia and Menard? Where were they? They're a couple badasses. Oh, Menard was on commentary all night after he kidnapped somebody.
They're out doing.
And they never mentioned it for like an hour and 20 minutes.
I committed a felony. Let's talk about this.
Oh my God.
And the emotional angst of Danny Garcia, who can't hit a guy that he kidnapped with a crowbar.
Oh.
Up yours. This show stunk.
And Jack Perry, is that it? Is that all you got?
It's like, yes. Will Jack Perry be making it to the match? Because he's still tied up in a chair.
He might
in a barn somewhere.
If he gets out of that chair, is he gonna be able to drive that bus with the broken headlight?
I don't think he broke the headlight, did he? I don't think he hit that thing hard enough. And they did a couple of little dents in the front.
Oh my God!
I'm such a bitch. I need to leave right now.
I will say when I watched that angle on Collision, and they sped off into the night with Jack Perry tied to the roof of a bus. They're driving down the street. People are watching. Nobody's calling the cops.
Yeah, Jack? You like this? And then they get him into their lair and they do nothing.
But so they drive away and I'm thinking, okay, there's no way they're going to follow up on this. Next time we see Jack Perry is going to be on Saturday. He's just going to be wrestling. Everything's going to be fine. They actually did follow up. Now, the follow-up sucked, but they did follow up. So I got to give them that.
I am perplexed and bamboozled. Yeah. Do we want to do the news now?
Yeah. You know what? Hey, exciting stuff. Actually had a good point here. Booking doesn't matter because they got a big TV deal. He's actually right. Okay, so the news. We got a schedule for early 2025. Some people thought that this was new, but they do this every year. Because I remember last year around this time, they put on tickets for sale in Winnipeg in March. And they ended up pushing that back till May. But this is normal. They normally announce the first quarter.
Excited for those cards that are coming.
So we're going to have three straight cards at the Hammerstein Ballroom in December. They're going to tape the Christmas show on Sunday, December 21st. So that's going to air on the 25th. They're doing the ROH Final Battle pay-per-view on a live Collision on Friday and Saturday that weekend. So it's three nights in a row. They're going to do Fight for the Fallen on New Year's Day. Nobody's watching that because it's going up against the college football playoffs. And then Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte for Collision on Clarksville, Tennessee for Dynamite. Special taping of Collision in Louisville, Kentucky at the Broadbent Arena Thursday. I don't know why I stopped for that.
Think Jim Cornette will get comped for that one?
No.
Okay.
Al Snow, maybe. they're doing a Dynamite and Collision double taping on Wednesday, January 29th. Not sure why. Huntsville, Alabama. Oh, you know why? I bet you that's Royal Rumble weekend, and they're going to air Collision during the afternoon, so it doesn't go head-to-head with that. That's why they're doing that.
Yes.
So they're doing a special Tuesday Dynamite taping on February 11th. Don't know why. And then they're doing a February 19th double taping.
Doing a bit where you want me to cut you off and say get to the Revolution?
No. I'm going through the list. February 19th and 26th, double tapings as well. So doing a lot of double tapings next year. And then Revolution at the Crypto in LA.
Okay, let's stop there.
Okay.
This is fascinating to me. Okay. I actually think it's also, if AEW were hot, it'd be a great move for them.
Yeah.
Because compared to the Kia Forum, and now that WWE has gone in with the Intuit Dome, which is also in Inglewood, and just to give you a little lay of the land, SoFi is also in Inglewood.
And that's the Raw Netflix premiere.
Yes. Okay. It absolutely sucks to get to Inglewood. It doesn't matter when. It sucks. And there's no parking and traffic. It doesn't matter when. The Crypto, formerly known as Staples, I still call it Staples, is more accessible to more people in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And on a Sunday, I mean, look, the freeways are bad on Sunday, no matter what, because of, road tripping and things like that. But there's a lot more public transit options to get to Staples. It's so weird because they can't sell out 3,000, but now they're going to have 15,000.
Wow.
For this, although it'll probably be roped off for 9.
Hopefully they got an angle. My guess would be.
Oh, they'll maybe have the an Bucks, angle for it.
Maybe the Bucks will come back at that time.
The Bucks and Omega in some form, I would guess, for this show. But, I might actually go to this because I would never go down to Inglewood on a weeknight. Oh, okay. I might go to this.
So you're not going to the Raw premiere?
Oh, God, no. Not unless they cop me and send me a car. And they're not going to do that.
Our friend Adine is planning on traveling to go see it because he's really looking forward to it. And the tickets are high priced and they're selling.
Yeah.
So
are they? I haven't looked at WrestleTix. Are they selling?
Well, they just did the pre-sale VIPs and they all sold out.
I have friends who have season tickets to the Clippers and they love the arena. I mean,
yeah, it looks cool on TV. So yeah, they got a nice little schedule coming up.
And trust me, Crypto's much better than the Kia Forum. And any day of the week. I mean, it's still fun to go to Crypto and watch hockey and stuff like that for me.
If they do a good angle, maybe that'll be Moxley Darby. I don't know. And after tonight, Darby looks like easy.
I think they're banking on the travel crew because LA and New York are always big shows. But it's also, it's 3 weeks before Mania, which is in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. No, it's about 5 weeks because they move Mania back this year. It's April 20th.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, but this is what, March 9th. 20th?
March 9th.
Oh, March 9th. Okay, then my bad.
Yeah, yeah, so 6 weeks later. Yeah, almost like halfway in between the Royal Rumble and Mania, actually. So, yeah, it's interesting. I was surprised when I saw it, but, I mean, you know, hopefully they got something big. They did a really nice number for Collision this year. You know what this is, though? It's only a couple weeks after that Australia show that they're planning in. And you know what's funny is this schedule they sent, there's nothing about that Australia show on here. Although,
no, Australia is a hotter market for them, probably, I would guess, since it's rare.
No, it's not. No, it's not. They get about 20,000 people in the whole country watching Dynamite, and they're trying to sell 40,000 tickets to a stadium show.
Does Australia still have the, am I mixing things up? Have they done their stadium show yet there?
No. Yeah. And WWE is doing, and UFC as well. They're both going there.
UFC won't be too bad, but they're doing Elimination Chamber there in February, right?
No, that's Toronto, I think.
Oh, Toronto.
And it's,
right.
And it's March. In fact, I think it might be head to head with that. Oh, no, it's the week before. It's March 2nd that they're doing. Okay. Elimination Chamber in Toronto. There's that. And then there's one other thing, right?
Tony Storm retired,
yeah.
Nah, she'll be there Saturday. Enjoy, everybody.
Yeah, you know what's funny is they're advertising a champagne celebration. And I'm like, okay, they're advertising a non-wrestling segment for the pay-per-view. So that tells me, okay,
for the grand champion, Mariah May.
Right. There's supposed to be there should be an angle then, you would think. Then I'm thinking, okay, it's kind of weird that they would do that. And then I was like, I had this deja vu feeling. Like, I remember people thinking it was weird that they were going to do a champagne celebration on a pay-per-view and thinking it was weird and that, you know, that's not like it's more like WWE than AEW. And then I remember I did some Googling and found out they did this. They advertised this on All Out. They advertise because she won the title at All In.
Yes.
And they advertise a championship celebration at All Out.
Yes.
And they didn't deliver. She came out in a robe and said, I'm not doing this. I'm waiting for a better place because Chicago sucks.
I hope she does that this time, too.
Yeah. Well, now she's got Mina, apparently. So that means that they are going to do it. And yeah, we're probably going to see Toni Storm, even though she retired. She says she doesn't need wrestling anymore. She doesn't need AEW, or they don't need her or something. I think she's losing all her matches when she's doing all these different promotions is what I gather. I don't know. I don't follow her anywhere else. I barely can stand her in AEW. So,
wow. Okay.
I like Mariah.
The character is just, it's, yeah. Okay. It'll get a big
boob
pop.
Thing, shake your boob things. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So that one.
I'm get a note from Sam on that one. Okay.
Okay. I'm kidding. I'm sorry, Sam, or anyone else.
I'm kidding.
What were they doing?
They were shaking their boobs. They were shaking their boobs.
Thank you.
There's an angle based on boobs. Mina is all about the boobs. I did see Harley Cameron and Mina's match, though. 5 stars. Match of the year candidate.
No. But you did. Okay. So you didn't watch Collision.
For me.
But did you see the November Rain video?
I'm a boob guy.
Me too.
Yes.
The full one, not the one they showed tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So I did as well. I watched Collision this afternoon and I saw the video. Now, like Brian, I'm not going to rant as much as he did, but I can't believe they never once on the show mentioned that that video was going to air until it actually aired. They ran down that card. I counted 5 straight times. They said, coming up, we're going to have Powerhouse Hobbs against Bronson. We're going to have Wheeler or whatever it was. I don't even remember these stupid matches they had. Daniel Garcia and Johnny TV coming up. We're going to have, you know, Anna Jay and Mariah May in a hardcore match. Okay, that's a good match. They ran down the card 5 separate times on this show. Not once. And stick around after the main event because we're going to see the Full Gear preview, November Rain, courtesy of Guns N' Roses. What are they doing? Like, and I know that they announced it on social media. I knew it was coming because I had heard about it. But why wouldn't they tell people that are actually watching the show? Because you know what?
Tony lives in a world where everybody has read everything they've written on Twitter.
But even if that's the case, okay? Even if that's the case.
Or Blueski, as I call it now.
Okay, even if that, yeah. Thank you, Pat LaFrance. Even if you, if that's the case, and you did know on social media that was coming, I knew the Luchadors were going to be there tonight. Maybe there was an extra overrun, and I shut the show off too early, and we were going to see the Luchadors. I think
the Luchadors were stacked up in that fur coat that MVP. That,
yeah. But no, like maybe, you know what? Maybe somebody tuned in halfway through the show. And they missed the video.
They should
they
have.
Don't know.
No, they should have obviously.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, we didn't know it was going to be the main event. He did say it was going to be on the show. But again, like maybe plans changed.
On their TV, much like they should have said something about the C2 lineup. If it's true that he said on the media call that they're waiting for injury clearances, blah, 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 just say when you're going to announce the lineup for the C2 and make it a big deal.
Announce your lineup and say pending injuries.
Yes.
You know, so you announce we're going to have Kazuchika Okada, Hangman Page, Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, you know, like whatever your names are going to be, announce them. And then if somebody gets injured at the pay-per-view, then you could actually do an angle on TV and say, hey, we got an injury spot to fill. Tune in to find out who's going to be filling in the spot for Hangman Page.
And you know what I mean? And then go into your Orange Cassidy kicks people lightly in the shin angle.
Yeah. So if you saw Collision, or maybe you saw it on social media, you saw that November Rain video. I thought it was really good. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the video that WWE did before No Way Out 2002, which was Lonely Road of Faith, Kid Rock.
Okay.
Where they did the history, they showed the history of the company, and then that built into the NWO, and then Vince McMahon was bringing in the NWO to destroy the company. I believe like that's what it reminded me of. What I liked about it, I mean, they did a really good job of making the footage fit the lyrics of the song. So it was kind of like as the song's going on, and if you know the song, you're anticipating certain things are going to happen, and it really kind of played into the mood of the song and the way the song builds and everything. I really liked all that.
Austin and Rock had a pretty good one too, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. My Way. That's a completely different one though. That you know, and that was more about the angle itself, and the song just fit. And what I liked, they aired that on the end of Collision, then they aired another one tonight to kick off Dynamite. The one tonight was shorter, but I liked the one tonight for a different reason. I thought tonight's actually got over the angles better. Like it was more like the song was the background and the angles were the important thing. On Saturday, it was all about the song. It was all about making the angles fit the song. Tonight, it was, here's our angles, and we got a cool song playing in the background. And I like that because I think that does a better job of building up the pay-per-view. And it kind of reminded me of how WWE used to do, remember they used to have the worst TV, but then you'd see the video package for the pay-per-view, and you're like, oh, this looks like great. Yeah. Like the last 2 months of TV that I've been watching must have been a lot better than I remember because that video package rocked. That's kind of what this reminded me of. Like, we saw all the good stuff, and we, like, even like the goofy angles, like Chris Statlander putting Mercedes through a, you know, like a cardboard wall. Like, it actually looked cool on this video, and it fit the song, and yeah, it just kind of worked. So, I really enjoyed that video to kick off the show, and I thought it was a good way to kick off the show. I thought it would have been better to end the show, and especially better than the angle they did. Like, if they would have just ended the Orange Cassidy match and then aired that November Rain 9-minute video, that would have done a way better job of selling the pay-per-view.
I think so. Look, I think that's what they should have done, to be honest with you. Do the hype video. Here's all the matches that are going to be on the card, and it's all part of this song. And yes.
And put graphics up for the matches.
Because that's what they would do. That's what they would do in the beloved ECW times.
Yep, exactly. So I didn't look up the crowd. It didn't seem huge. Hang on, I'll check WrestleTix. It's usually the first thing that comes up when you do here. WrestleTix, 26-27 tonight. Venue debut in Reading, Pennsylvania. So there you go. That's about what they've been doing for everything this year. Joseph Withit points out last year they didn't announce till the day of the tournament. He's right.
So, doesn't make it good.
And Tony lost his Gripper of the Year crown last year, so there you go.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
All right, so we open up the show with the eight-man all-star tag. So this one, remember last week I said we were going to see a match like this and they never announced it. They waited until after the show and they put it out on Twitter that they were going to do this match. Whatever. It was the Callis family against Ricochet, Powerhouse Hobbs, Mark Davis, and Will Ospreay. So they've been doing a great job so far of keeping Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher apart. And I thought they were going to do that here as well. And then at some point in the match, they were just in the ring together and they just started fighting. And that was that. So they blew that off real quick. They had a match. I mean, I've seen versions of this that were a lot better. I've seen versions of this that were worse. This was kind of right in the middle. Matt Menard was on commentary tonight. I don't know where Nigel was, but I desperately wanted him back.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not the best guy for selling.
He's his tone reminds you of Lawler. He's not doing the bad jokes, but he has kind of the light, upbeat voice type of a thing where you're just like, this isn't fitting on this show.
He's good for the secondary shows, but
yes,
he doesn't work for the hard sell. So they ended up, they did that spot where everyone does their moves and everyone's down, and they ended up with Ospreay and Fletcher in there. They ended up brawling to the outside. Get back in the ring and it's Takeshita and Mark Davis, and didn't take a brain surgeon to figure out how that was going to end. Takeshita hits him with a knee strike, gets the pin. People were raving about some look he gave the camera. I don't know. And they won the Callis family. So they won. They did a spot in this match where right at the beginning of the match, Will Hobbs was getting double teamed by the ring steps and they smashed his leg into a thing, and they the doctors came out right away and they brought him to the back, and I wasn't really paying attention until I saw the replay. So I kind of actually, the way they did it, I almost thought he really was injured, but so, then when I saw the replay, like, I realized no, there's no way he's actually injured from that. So then he comes out limping later, and they do, I, you know how, you know, the best thing in a tag match is the hot tag and then the babyface runs wild. Well, here Will Hobbs did the babyface tag and he limped wild. He was limping around the ring, hitting his move, and people were feeding into it. It was funny as hell because I've never seen somebody limp wild before. At the end of the day, I have no idea why they did that angle, because it didn't.
I don't either. And thank you for bringing that up.
It made no sense because it didn't play into the match at all. Like, other than you got that one spot of him making a heroic comeback by walking. They've done this before too. They did it with Cash Wheeler one time, and I'm sure they've done it with other ones. I remember the Cash one.
It doesn't quite work with a guy of Will Hobbs' size, though. Especially he's a big badass.
If he would end up getting pinned, that would have made sense. Okay, yes. He came back too early or something. But no, he's not the one that got pinned, because everyone and their dog knew that Mark Davis was taking the pin.
And also, it's just, to me, it's kind of dumb, and they've done this a couple times. They've also done with Adam Cole, where a guy's come back from injury, and you're happy to see him, and you just want to watch him wrestle. And instead, we're teasing, oh, crap, he's injured again.
Yes. Like, I literally, that was my first thought. I was like, oh, no. You know, like, I felt so bad. And then I'm also like, you did it in this stupid match.
But we worked them. Yeah, he's coming back and limping.
Yeah. And even when he was limping, I'm like, okay, he's not that good of a seller. But then eventually he forgot about the injury and he wasn't limping anymore. So
let me give some thoughts on this then. Did you get to the did you not get to the finish?
No, I got to the finish.
I wasn't sure. It kept going.
Sorry.
Number one, heels coming out as a unit, buys. But buys. Screw the baby face injuries. The bad guys are coming out as a gang. Cool. Where's Don Callis?
Callis' music. Oh, yeah, he wasn't there, was he? Wasn't
no.
even on commentary.
It's his family. Lead it. I am going to go back to something you have said. Kyle Fletcher is looking more and more like young Randy Orton every day. And this gear and the necklace and kind of the darker hair, I like the look. I like this look a lot on Kyle Fletcher.
You know what else? He also looks like a Daniel Garcia, but twice the size and about 100 times better body. So it makes Daniel Garcia look really bad.
Yeah.
They dress exactly the same.
Let's bring up something else. we did the Will Hobbs thing. Will Hobbs should have probably gotten the pin, to be, or at least taken the pin or something to that effect, because he was the hot tag.
Yeah.
This Mark Davis story is stupid. Because, you know, because you were right, they should have held off this thing if they're going to do what they're going to do, which is they're going to turn Mark Davis, because in a multi-man match he accidentally took a kick.
Well, not accidentally. I mean, he got hit, right? Like,
he got hit because he got thrown into the path of another babyface.
Oh, okay,
and that's going to precipitate a heel turn, which is stupid.
If it does, like if he ends up joining. DJ Cass chimed in. I haven't heard from him in a while. He used to be in the chat all the time, but he gave us a super chat here. Just wanted to say, how's it going? Thought the go-home show was good, but there was a lot of it felt rushed, like match, then backstage interview. And yeah, I agree.
Go back to the beginning of the show. You'll hear me in my prime.
Yeah. There were aspects of the go-home show that I thought was good. It was just, I think the formatting of the show was part of the issue. But
they were, you know what I think it was? They're serving two thoughts in Tony's head. They're serving the thought that, yeah, we need to plug this pay-per-view, but we have an arena full of people. We need to give them a good wrestling show. And it's killing them, because the good wrestling that they're doing is taking away from the build when you just want the fight build. And we'll get into that when we get the Statlander Hikaru Shida match is the perfect barometer for that.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that when we get there.
And even this match here, like, you know, the match was here obviously to promote, I assume. I thought
this was the main event of the night.
the match was here to build up Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay, obviously, right?
Yes.
Because they're wrestling. Are Ricochet and Takeshita on the pay-per-view?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. I thought they would.
Because they didn't announce the lineup on this show.
No. This is a legit question. This isn't just me being cheeky.
I know it is. And I'm telling you, I'm also confused.
Yeah. Like I thought, I mean, they certainly built it, but there was nothing in this match. If I forgot to mention Ricochet's name and didn't tell you anything that he did, like I didn't even know that he was like in this match. Like I don't remember a thing he did.
Right. And the thing is, we want the one-on-one. Yeah. Ospreay Fletcher feud built. That's what's getting people off on this show. And it's
well, Fletcher should have been the one that got the pin.
Well, not just that, but I mean, who cares about an 8-man tag? This is something for last
week. Well, no. You know what? No. I'm gonna take exception to that. I like the idea of the 8-man tag to build up the pay-per-view match. I just don't think what they actually did a good job of building up the pay-per-view match.
Okay, no, but I'll retract.
Who was focused on in this match? Will Hobbs? Is he on the pay-per-view?
I have territory brain. So for Will me, Hobbs, this Will match Hobbs should have come last week.
Okay. Takeshita was focused.
Yes.
I don't know if he's on the pay-per-view. He might be. I don't know. And
it might help to run down the pay-per-view.
Fletcher. Well, we will later.
No,
Fletcher,
I meant them on their TV. Oh,
yes. Yes. Like, especially if they are wrestling, they should have mentioned that.
Yes.
So the fact that they didn't tells me they probably aren't.
Maybe or that he's still formatting later. It and doesn't know what matches are going to be on here and what matches are going to be saved for Wednesday in Chicago.
And it doesn't matter because everyone's going to buy the pay-per-view and it's going to be awesome. So, all right, we go to a Moxley promo. This was not as good as the one on Collision.
No.
I had a hard time transcribing what he said here, so I'm going to do my best. Orange Cassidy is a snake. He's a serpent lurking in the darkest corners of the battlefield. My job remains the same. You made me a borderline sociopath. I don't care if you're a great guy. When the bell rings on Saturday night and the AEW World Championship hangs in the balance, you're a threat to my people, and I will destroy you. There's so much going on behind Orange Cassidy's eyes. Your body and Darby Allin's body are still up for grabs. Claudio ranted in Swiss, and then he said, tonight I'm going to end you, and he did. So that's it.
Orange Cassidy is a snake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Moxley says. I think, or maybe he said he was a snake. I'm not even positive.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
for the story they're telling, are they saying Orange Cassidy is a fraud?
In Moxley's mind, Orange Cassidy is a fraud. Yeah.
Well, okay, it depends on the kind of fraud, though. That's what I'm trying to get at. He's saying he's not. Is he saying he's not tough and he's a fraud, or he chooses not to be a fighter, and I'm going to make him fight. I'm
going
to go
saying make him that go against the whole claims thing. He doesn't care about anything, but he actually does.
God.
Maybe they should have had a video running down the pay-per-view card. They could use a famous early 90s rock ballad from a big name rock band's background music. Yeah.
Yeah, that they paid a lot of money to ASCAP for.
Maybe Cinderella. Don't know what you got till it's gone. Something like that.
Home Sweet Home. Motley Crue.
Oh, Twisted Sister. The Price. All right. Darby showed up with a skateboard. He says, Claudio, never forget, you're the one that put the chair around Brian's neck and pulled the trigger on his career. Every single one of you Death Riders will have your day. And Claudio, today's your day. Yeah, it sure was.
Great. No, but let's say this before that, great promo.
Yeah. But then he said,
we look, 8 weeks later, we're finally getting some emotional resonance about the Brian Danielson retirement beatdown.
But he said, you guys are all going to have your day. And tonight, Claudio is your day.
It was his day.
His day. I mean, that's not quite what Darby meant, but he wasn't lying. They aired a promo for the Continental Classic. I have no idea who's in it, but it starts next week. We know Okada's in it. They did mention that because there was some questions about this. Kazuchika Okada will be defending his title in the tournament. So I guess the title technically is vacant while the tournament's going on, and the winner of the tournament wins the title.
Well,
I
believe that's how it works. We can't do highlights of last year because Andrade's gone. And
who else? That's it. Eh? Well, Lethal was in it.
Eddie Kingston's not around.
Yeah, but they showed him in highlight. He was in that true. November 8 video. True. I think. Yeah. So, no, I mean they can air highlights of Andrade. Why not? I mean, he lost all his matches, didn't he? Oh, no, wait. No, he went like 4-2.
I'm being facetious.
Garcia's the one that...
Garcia got that big win.
Yeah, against Cody King.
And they hyped it, too. He went over, and then he gets a win.
So this year, he'll get 2. And it's progress.
I don't want him anywhere near this effing tournament.
So they go to commercial. They come back. Renee's outside in a coat, and she's waiting for the Hurt Syndicate. And earlier tonight... MVP had said he was gonna have a special surprise. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. Like, I guess maybe this was on social media or something, or maybe I think they do a pre-show, so maybe it was on that. But he says, I have a special treat for the AEW viewing audience. It's an announcement. Bobby Lashley will be in action tonight in Reading, Pennsylvania. Instead of saying MVP is gonna have an announcement, why didn't he just advertise that Bobby Lashley was gonna be wrestling?
I believe it's Reading, Pennsylvania, by the way.
Oh, what did I say? Reading? Yeah, you're right. It's Reading. And before he can get anything out, he gets attacked by Swerve, who then ran away. There was something. Did you see this? Swerve announced on social media that he's got like a separated shoulder. He showed like doctor's x-rays of his shoulder. And apparently like he says, oh, don't mess with the Hurt Business or this might happen to you or something like that. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, I don't know, earlier in the week, 3 or 4 days ago. So people were speculating that, oh, maybe they're just going to do a Brock Lesnar match on the pay-per-view where Bobby Lashley's going to kill him.
You know what? That might have built some intrigue for this match.
Yeah. Or they don't want to give it away. So
it doesn't matter. Just hint that he's injured or something.
Yeah, show the tweet or something. Yeah,
make this world seem a little more real.
But when he took out his leg, the way Lashley went down, I thought, oh man, they're gonna get out of this match by claiming it's Lashley that's injured. You know, but no, he just came back later and kicked the crap out of two people.
Yeah,
which was fine. Adam Cole comes out. I wrote down presumably for a promo. He says story time with Adam Cole, baby. The fans don't even chant with him anymore.
He looked the yellow guy from Sin City.
It wasn't quite as bad as it usually is, but yeah, he's still got a weird color. I wish so badly I could say I was going to get my hands on MJF, but I'm not. MJF did everything in his power to make sure we didn't fight on Saturday, and he succeeded. You know who else succeeded? Roderick Strong. We have the exact same goal, to give MJF the ass whooping of a lifetime, and that's what's going to happen Saturday at Full Gear. So he cuts the promo for Adam Cole. This match got more hype than anything on the show besides the main event, and nobody cares about this match.
Nobody cares about anybody in this match, and nobody cares about Kyle O'Reilly.
No, who came out next?
The charismatic dynamo that is Kyle O'Reilly, who's going to put all these pieces together and sell us.
Oh my God. Match. And he's involved in two angles. He's involved in the main event and this. He's all over this show. So he's out with a mic. He says, I don't know if you remember, but 14 years ago, right here in Reading, we had our second match ever. And the fans
mildly applaud. Oh, shit. I forgot all about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me, pal.
It was a dark match on a freaking show that probably never even aired on TV. He said, ever since being associated with you, I've had incredible highs and serious lows, and I've come to know you better than anyone. But I'm the only one here willing to tell you the truth. I'm doing way more charisma than he is. The Crusade with MJF.
Kyle O'Reilly makes Dean Malenko look like Don Rickles.
The Crusade with MJF has to end before someone gets hurt. Your ankle's been reconstructed, and what's next? Friends willing to take a bullet, myself included. Roderick Strong barely made it out alive last week, and he wants to MJF because of you.
He barely made it out
alive. And then Adam Cole says, yeah, I know, right? Like, what are they talking about? And Cole says, you don't think Roddy can handle MJF? And then Roddy fires up, and he says, you don't think MJF is three steps ahead of you on this? Dealing with him is like dealing with fire, and I don't want to see my friends get hurt, get burned. You're a leader, an elite pro wrestler, and a good friend. He doesn't want to see his friends get hurt, or so I thought.
This is crap.
I know, this makes no sense, because last week he didn't even want to shake his hand. Like, face facts, man. MJF is more of an evil bastard than you'll ever be. And that's a good thing. And he drops his mic and leaves, and Adam Cole just stares at him, and the scene ends, and the fans, they didn't react to any of the.
There was no emotion in this. This was just all expository garbage is what
the look on Adam Cole's face said it all. It was like,
hurry up and finish your monologue so we can get out of this scene.
All he didn't say, he could have done what his ex-girlfriend did last week and looked in the camera and said, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Speaking of which, what was the follow-up on that?
Dean wasn't on Collision, was she? Okay. Nope. I thought that was going to be a collision.
Or Britt's got strep again. So.
Holy crap. I had forgotten all about that until you brought it up. It's like, here we go. Serena Deeb versus Britt Baker. Nobody cares. Okay, then we won't put it on there. Go sit on the couch with the luchadors over there and watch some TV.
Maybe they're in the Continental Classic. So the conglomeration. So they said they're going to cut to the back. Renee Paquette is standing there with the congregation. They come back. They go back there.
Conglomeration.
But it's just Orange Cassidy, just by himself. And he said, a little later on tonight, I'm going to make an example of you, Wheeler Yuta, and show everyone what I'll do to you, John Moxley, and that's beat you alone. And Mark Briscoe shows up and he says, what sense does that make? There's five of them. We got you back. And Orange Cassidy says, no one else is getting hurt here. Mark says, we fighters, we got your back.
Mark Briscoe, the voice of reason to these absolute morons.
And he says, please, I'm asking you. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to understand me. Just promise me you'll stay away. Man, if you insist, so be it. There you have it, John. Five of you and one of me. Because this Saturday at Full Gear, you're going to get all the help you can get. That's what he said. I rewound it. He did not say you're going to need all the help you can get. He said you're going to get all the help you can get.
All the help you can get.
You're going to get all the help you can get. Yes, he is, because he's got four buddies and you got nobody because you told him to stay behind. You're going to get all the help you can get on the go-home promo for this match we're going to have later on tonight. That was brilliant.
This is why you don't do it live. This is why you do pre-taped.
Yeah. Well, even when they do it pre-taped, sometimes it doesn't work out. There was one. It was Anna Jay promoting her match with Mariah May.
Yes.
And she said, next Wednesday, we're going to do this. And it was Saturday. And it was a pre-tape. Mm-hmm. The show itself was pre-taped. And they left it in. Whatever. Chris Statlander.
I can forgive that, though, because that was taped on Wednesday. So
they could fix it.
All right.
Chris Statlander versus Hikaru Shida.
All right. What?
Okay, they set this up, believe it or not, on Collision.
Oh, really? What did they do?
Chris Statlander did an interview, and she talked about Mercedes. Hikaru Shida showed up. She says, finally, somebody's going to beat Mercedes' bony ass. And she says, but I want a piece of that, too. And then Statlander says, well, I got her, but why don't we wrestle on Wednesday? And Shida says, okay. And that was it.
You know, maybe you play that, but even if you did, do you know what you accomplished in this match, AEW?
You split the
audience into Let's Go Sheeta, Let's Go Chris Statlander on the Go Home show, where everybody should be wanting to see Chris Statlander actually murder death Mercedes.
Yeah.
And no, we're having a competitive match.
Not only that,
with a world champion. And
what was the, so given all that, we got the split crowd.
This was Tony going, we have a live audience, so they need to have a really good match.
So, and they didn't, but that's besides the point.
No, they didn't. Stunk.
So Statlander should have been the one to look impressive, right? Like we should watch this match and we say, oh man, she's beat a former world champion. It's all about her. No.
Because that's the story they told when she pinned her. It's like, oh, beat a former 3-time world champion.
But the story of the match itself, if you actually watched and listened to the commentary, the story of the match was Sheeta had the better of her the whole match, but she kept missing her signature move and she wasn't sure of herself because she hit that move on Mercedes and Mercedes kicked out. So she was worried about hitting it on Stat for some reason, or she didn't have the confidence. So you had Statlander doing her moves, you had her doing Stat's moves. She tried the katana, she missed it, and then Stat just rolled her up and got the pin.
Audience didn't know what to do because the audience wasn't aware of any angle or whatever on Collision. No. They just knew that there were two people they liked on there, so they started doing dueling chants. Nice job.
Yeah. And so she got the win. She hit her Wednesday Night Fever for the pin, which is a pile driver. And there was a pile driver earlier on tonight, and there's a pile driver in the main event. There are a lot of pile drivers tonight.
And all of them got two counts for the most part.
I assume it's just a coincidence, but it may also have something to do with the fact that WWE is doing an angle where Kevin Owens put Randy Orton out with a pile driver. It may just be a coincidence. I'm not.
It may be a coincidence, or it might be all the agents are watching WWE.
Yeah, instead of their own show. Mercedes came out after the match, and she came out with Camille, and Camille was in a sling. Reading, say hello to your CEO.
Gotta get the baby face off before we go into the heel act.
They're actually chanting it now, so you're onto something there. Mm-hmm. Last week, Camille, you want to hear a fun fact about Pennsylvania? The Sixers have had yet another terrible season. Embarrassing. Shout out to my boys, the Celtics, on another incredible victory last night. And you had an incredible victory tonight, Chris Statlander. And I'm really rarely impressed by my competition. Another fun fact, and I got to say, she's actually getting heat for this. Like, the crowd hadn't been reacting all night, and they're didn't like Mercedes here.
Look, your local sports team sucks. There was a question about it earlier. Like, oh, here it is. How does it take to write a your local sports team sucks line? Sometimes it's effective. Mm-hmm. as long as you only do it once,
And she did. She went on
doing this.
She made it about the match.
Yes.
She said, another fun fact, I've held this TBS championship longer than you. I will not lose because I'm the CEO and I'm the greatest TBS champion of all time, and I'll never lose this title. Fans are chanting, shut the fuck up. And I think it was Matt Menard said that they're very rude.
Yes.
And she said, these people are pissing me off. So she says to Camille, go get the job done. And she throws her into the ring with her sling. And Menard's like on Camille, do your job. So she climbs in, she gets between the two of them, and she doesn't know what to do. So she tried to slap Statlander with her one good hand, and then she gets double teamed by Statlander and Cheetah, who are friends again. And Cheetah's stomping on her. Then Mercedes jumped on Statlander's back, but Stat grabbed the ropes. Fans are chanting, you fucked up. And then Stat gave her the Wednesday Night Fever. So she got the pile driver again.
Let's get to this. If the point is to get heat on Mercedes for throwing Camille in there, they need to milk this just a little bit and have Camille just stand there like, I don't know what to do right now. And just have the baby faces punch her. No slap from her. Just have the two baby faces hit her and go after Mercedes. I'm Camille. I'm also suing for career suicide or something, because someone asked me this. Did she piss somebody off backstage or something to get treated like this?
She had a bad match with Queen Aminata, and they gave up on her. That's what happened.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking too. And I'm just like, I think that I still
and we haven't seen Queen Aminata since, so that
I find her an endearing. Well, yes, they ruined Queen Aminata by making her a baby face and then taking away her chops.
Yeah.
So, I just, yeah, I,
she's got like, there's no way you can possibly have sympathy for her because she's just keeps doing what it's right, kind of like,
a, she's a dope.
It kind of reminds me of like, you know, when they were doing the Chad Gable Otis thing, and then you had like, they just kept taking it and they kept taking it and they kept yes. taking it, but yes. they never fired back.
Right. And, you can never feel sorry for somebody like that.
No. And yet people did because, you know, and people are
because
like,
Otis is a fiery baby yeah. face who had been over as a baby face before.
But the other guy, Akira Tozawa, he's a yeah. simp. Or R-Truth and Miz is another one. So
I would have loved Camille to just kind of do this. She goes in, she looks at Butler, and she just goes, I don't know. She just gets punched.
So somebody asked in our Discord, and if you want to get in the Discord, you can cheap plug. You can send Gigi Garrett Gonzalez an email, gg@fightkmedia.com, and ask for an invite to the Discord. Somebody asked in the show chat, you think Statlander's got a chance to win on Saturday? And I wrote back, I said, her chances were slim and none. And Slim just left the building when she hit yeah. that pile driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Mercedes is retaining everybody. So Excalibur cuts. He says, we're going to cut to an incensed MVP backstage. So they cut to the back and MVP is all smiling, happy. I wrote down. He doesn't seem that incensed. And they find some random black dude in a fur coat and beat him up. I think it might have been Leon Ruffin. I'm not positive. It was somebody that was very much smaller than Swerve, wearing Swerve's jacket.
Where'd you get this jacket?
Yeah, where'd you get the jacket? He asked him. And
there's a joke I could make, but I'd get canceled, so I'm not going to.
Well, I'm just wondering if this was like, you know, the version of the joke that all black guys look alike.
That was the joke I was going for. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Paul. You can.
He did like he did look kind of like he did look kind of like a tiny version of Swerve. Like his hair. Yeah, his hair was kind of similar, and yeah, and they shot it from behind.
If you put him on all you luchador shoulders, he would have looked.
Maybe they were in there too. Yeah, those crazy luchadors. We got a video package for Jay White and Hangman. It was fine. Went over their history. Apparently, Full Gear is named after Hangman. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, didn't Hangman. It was a comment he made about Pac.
Okay.
Not wearing all his gear, always going out when he was like kind of naked or whatever.
Okay.
The problem with this feud, or part of the problem with, I mean, we've talked about every week, Jay White is not a good baby face at all. Part of it is people are reading into there's some sort of weird Hangman redemption arc in here, and I don't see it. I don't understand what people are talking about when they say these things. Oh, you think this is where the Hangman babyface turn is coming or something like that? I'm like, this is you guys writing a story that's there.
Kind of do. John, who is, as you can see in the picture, black.
Well, all Canadians look alike. So,
well, you're not Canadian.
I know.
The video was fine. Jay White is fine. It's just always been a hand. Hangman had a good line. You couldn't tap me if your slimy ass depended on it. And then Jay White said, Jay White has always been ahead of Hangman Adam Page.
Did you know what I like? Slimy or limey?
He probably said limey, actually. Okay. Even though he's from New Zealand. What I love about Jay White, whenever he's cutting his promo on Hangman, he never calls him just Hangman, and he never calls him Hangman Page. It's always Hangman Adam Page. Always. He's the only person that calls him by all three names.
But he never switches up his delivery.
No, it drives me nuts.
Like, it's like yeah. he's never angry. He's never sad, upset, whatever. It's always clever mustache twirling villain who's just tied yeah. a woman to the railroad tracks.
Yep. Cadence. Except now we're cheering for him.
Ah, my friend, Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah. That's good. Next up, Bobby Lashley in his first AEW match. I thought maybe he was on some sort of a deal where he gets limited matches and we're only see him wrestle on pay-per-view, but nope. Bobby Lashley versus Joe Keys and Cheeseburger, who up until this point was the most over person on the show, I think.
Yes.
Fans were chanting Cheeseburger. Did your feed cut just like right after the ring intros? Like my feed cut for like 10 seconds. I thought maybe House of Black was coming out or something.
No, it did not.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Maybe it was a TSN thing. But fans were chanting for Cheeseburger. Lashley did a cool suplex flatliner combo on both guys. Gave Cheeseburger clothesline. Fans booed. Gave him his finisher. And Joe Keys broke up the pin. And Matt Menard's like, what are you doing? He's like, Joe Keys is an idiot. And then Tony Schiavone says,
I liked this part.
He's an athlete, and he's trying to win a match.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Loved it. Even if it was a screw-up, it was
this
great.
This was the best, the most I've enjoyed Matt Menard on commentary ever.
Yes.
Was in this match. Bobby gives him a one-handed choke slam. Then he speared him. And he gave him the Hurt Lock, and they called it the Hurt Lock. So I guess WWE doesn't own that trademark, which makes me wonder why they didn't call it the Hurt Lock the first couple times he used it.
I think there's a more relaxed policy about letting guys go and use the trademark stuff now.
Well, yeah, if it's just the moves, right? But sometimes they have to change their name. But I think they change the name if it doesn't fit the gimmick, like Mercedes. Right. She like her the Moneymaker was used to be what the Page Turner? No, that's Page.
Bank statement,
yeah, because it was Sasha Banks, yeah. And now it's the Moneymaker, which is actually a better move, better name, honestly. But
I think so too.
Yeah, so shitty move, but it's a good name. So he gets the win, and Swerve comes out, and Nana. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. Swerve's music plays, and Nana comes out, and he has a chair. He doesn't have his
Matt Menard's pronunciation of Nana drives me nuts. Cause of Nana. Like it's his grandma.
Get him, guys. All right. So he's got a chair, no coffee. And Shelton approached him. And MVP is waiting. He's looking around. He's like, he knows something's up. He's smart. He's like the smartest person on the show. So he knows Swerve is going to show up. And he knows he's not going to be coming from like the ramp. He comes out from under the rings. I guess he's been hiding under the ring all night with the luchadors. And he attacked Lashley with a chain. That's where they are. They're under the ring. They're waiting. I'll bet you they're all on Rampage. I'll bet you anything. Like, Rampage is going to be Mystico and Hechicero and Mascara Dorada 2.0.
The stars of CMLL, as they say.
Well, they kind of are, actually. Mystico Rampage is probably, like, honestly, like Mystico is probably like number three in Wrestler of the Year this year. Like, he
laughed at Tony Khan saying he wanted to run Arena Mexico. I was like, why would they want, don't they want a full house?
They'll get a full house if they run Arena Mexico. Yeah, they will.
If it's if it's just AEW or AEW and CMLL, because AEW.
It would be both.
I know that, but that's the joke, Paul. Let's move on.
Okay. My bad.
He's still out every Friday night, and it's a hot ticket.
Swerve took out MVP and Shelton. Then he hit Lashley with the house call, and he hit him with the Swerve stomp. So he's losing on Saturday. He went to dive onto MVP, but MVP ducked because he's the smartest guy in the company. And Swerve took off through the crowd. Excalibur points out it's the first time the Hurt Syndicate have been outplayed. So I actually think I'm going to call it right now. I think we're getting like a 3-minute match. Lashley's going to destroy him.
It's actually interesting. They're doing the WWE booking style, though.
Yeah,
where you beat down a guy and then you're going to lose on the pay-per-view. Except, don't like it.
But you know what? They did all that. And then in the main event, you had Moxley do that to Orange Cassidy. So everyone thinks, Orange Cassidy got beat up. He's going to win the title. No, he's not winning the title.
We don't even know if the title's in that briefcase.
It definitely is in the briefcase. They actually showed it on the November Rain video package. They showed him putting it in the briefcase.
It's a MacGuffin.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm kidding. Marina Shafir's on the govern.
Continue. Yeah. Renee was backstage with Mariah and Mina. So on Saturday, they're going to have the championship celebration on Full Gear. But first, you're teaming up on Rampage. And Mariah says, no champion deserves a championship celebration more than me. I take shit and I make it shine. It's a good line. Anytime, any show, anywhere, you hold this or you die, she says. And then Mina. She says, Mariah has been working so hard. I'm not going to do the accent.
Don't do the broken English, my friend.
Mariah has been working so hard. I'm very proud of her. I want to give her a celebration she'll never forget. Everyone wants Mina bad. Well, I want Mariah. And they shake their tits and they dance. And Renee is perplexed. On Collision, they did an interview. They did a thing, and it was with Lexi Nair. You got to go back and watch this. So they do their little interview, and it was something like this. And then they're done. And then Marina looks at her, and he says, okay, let's dance now. And Marina starts shaking.
And it's just boob and shaking.
She's going, yeah, and she's going to Lexi, trying to get her to do it, and she won't do it.
My but favorite part is that Renee has now joined Right to Censor on all these segments, because she's the one wanting to stop all the boob shaking.
But she's not like Renee, where she's trying to stop it, and she's horrified. Lexi, you can tell. Lexi really wants to dance, but she knows she can't.
She's a minion, so she's not allowed to dance unless...
There's that. No. She's only a minion if Athena's on screen.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, like, it's so funny because she wanted to dance so much. She wanted to shake those boobs, but she knew, I can't. I'm a professional. I can't do this. So at some point, she's going to dance, and the crowd's going to pop. I know it's coming. So, just look much like Mina. All right. Oh, God. Darby Allin and Claudio Castagnoli. To summarize, I wrote down a lot.
Murder death.
Claudio Castagnoli committed a murder of Darby Allin. Darby got a couple hope spots, but I mean, this was, I don't know how long it went, 12 minutes maybe.
It felt like 30, man.
He took 95% of this match. He hit him with suplexes. He swung him into the barricade outside the ring. He threw him into the crowd. He picked him up over his head.
Slam. Oh my god. Yeah.
He put him in a vertical suplex position, climbed the stairs. Tony Schiavone said he's never seen this before, even though I'm positive he's done this before in a match that Tony's called. Then outside the ring, he threw him over the announce table. Then he picked him up over his head, standing on the announce table, tossed him about 30 feet into another table. Darby was rolled up in like this black thing. It looked like he was getting ready to be buried. They did a count out tease.
I think I heard him say that sucked, or somebody yelled that really loud when he hit that table, because it was supposed to break and it did not.
They did a count out tease. He comes in at 9. And fans are chanting, holy shit. So they come back, and then Claudio just hit him with a lariat and pinned him. And that was that. And I'm like,
dumbest finish ever is when they crawl back to beat the 10 count, and then they get immediately effed up and pinned.
So
there's no emotional resonance in this beatdown whatsoever. So it didn't help either Claudio or Darby.
Let me ask you something, Jeff. Out of all the matches we saw, and I think you said earlier that it was a bunch of good wrestling because Tony said, you know, we got a crowd of people in the building. You know, there's almost 3,000 people in this 10,000 seat building. We got to give them a good show. So out of all the wrestlers on the show tonight, who looked the most impressive?
This is a loaded question.
Well, I don't think it's that hard.
It's Mina Shirakawa. Come on.
Okay, that's okay.
I'm taking your question literally.
Yes, ooh. You are. Okay, which wrestler?
Claudio.
Right. Claudio. What's he doing on the pay-per-view? This is the go-home show for Full Gear. What match should we be excited for?
He will be party to the Orange Cassidy murder.
He's probably also in the Continental Classic. That might have been a good idea to mention that in this show. Especially if he is going to be in the Continental Classic.
In the Continental Classic? No.
If Tony's worried about injuries, Claudio's not on the pay-per-view, so there's pretty good chance he's going to make it out of the pay-per-view without getting injured.
Man, I cannot wait for 3 matches of Claudio doing awesome offense that does absolutely no damage. That'll be fun.
Yeah, so he's not on the pay-per-view, but he looked the most impressive. Like, he looked like a future world champion. I wrote down after this, he's got to be going for the world title, right?
Nope. Yes.
Nope, he's not. No, he's not.
Yes.
But he probably is going to be in the finals of the Continental Classic, and he's probably going to lose to Okada again. Maybe he'll beat Okada. Maybe he'll win the title, you know?
I don't think Claudio is going to be in the finals for the Continental Classic.
No? What do you figure? Osprey and Okada? Osprey and Okada on 3 days' notice for a show in Japan. Yeah, that's on brand. I'm calling it right now.
It's the Super Daniel Garcia.
They're going to do the finals they're going to do the block finals on the Dynamite before Wrestle Dream. Or maybe it'll be at World's End. And then they'll book the match on 1 week's notice, and it'll be Okada and Ospreay in Japan, and that'll be the finals of this Continental Classic. I'm calling it right now.
Willow Nightingale is going to win the C2.
I think isn't she injured?
I don't care.
Well,
It was just a dumb joke. Throwaway line.
She might. Oh no, there is no Women's Continental Classic.
No,
there's another women's tournament. We should have mentioned earlier. Eh? It's can't remember what it's called.
It's that Wrestle Dream one where they have a representative from four different companies.
Two
of them are the same company.
Two of them are the same company, and the other two are companies that work with them all the time.
Yes.
So yeah. So it'll be Red Velvet and probably Queen Aminata. It's not gonna be Athena. Everyone thinks it's gonna be Athena because she's already got a title. The winner of this thing gets a title shot, so it's not gonna be Athena. Everyone.
Billy Starks.
Maybe. Although you know what? Billy might win the title, and then it could be Athena, actually.
Okay.
Because I think Billy's gonna be wrestling for the title at Final Battle. Anyways. Renee with Private Party. Nothing to this one. She reminds them they don't have to be pinned to be lose. She asks them what's their strategy.
There's nothing to this. It had the most exciting promo on this show.
We have one, but we won't tell you. The odds have been against us our whole lives. We've bit the butts to become the tag champs, and we're leaving New Jersey still the tag team champs because it's a private party, and that's a flex. What was the most exciting thing? Just their
Costco emotion? Guys.
Oh, that was next.
Okay, yeah.
I wrote down two random dudes show up, no idea who they are. We got a big announcement. I had no idea. You are not aware of
AJ and
I knew that Big Boom AJ was going to have a match, and I think I even knew that he was going to be on Dynamite, but I don't know who he is. Like, I've never seen him before.
Okay. They've done a decent job on socials on this one with QT. Mm-hmm. Pressing, but I know you
follow
don't
follow it. I don't follow it.
No,
wrestling QT Marshall.
You're not aware of the Costco guys?
Nope.
Somehow it has bled into my world. Jeff, and I didn't realize this.
It's November 20th. Let's just pretend I only started watching Dynamite this year. Who's this guy that Big Boom AJ is wrestling? I've never seen him.
Who is this QT Marshall?
Who is QT Marshall? Like, I don't know. I only started watching Dynamite a year ago. I've watched every episode of Dynamite. I've never heard his name before tonight. And he's on the pay-per-view.
Costco guy is a better promo than 50% of this roster.
Yeah, he was good. Because they did. Like, we'll get to him. Because before that, we have MJF.
They hit his catchphrases. They hit his...
Yeah, we have MJF. He pulled up to a gas station with a car, and he cut a promo on Strong. He talked about how his mother shot his father. He said they were both alcoholics. Trauma is a result of danger and fear.
Stop. Where were they?
I don't know.
He pulls into this random parking lot, and there's a guy sitting out there with a sign asking for change. But it doesn't appear he's actually in front of anything other than a building.
I thought it was a gas station in a hick town. Was what I took out of this. And he talked at the end of the promo, he mentioned, I'm going to send you back here where you belong. So I think the idea was it's a trailer park. There's a trailer park.
I thought so too. I thought it might be like the office for a trailer park.
Yeah.
But at least show us a sign or something of that. Instead, it's just some random guy where there's absolutely nobody holding up a sign. No. I howled at that. It's like, what?
It was weird. But he said trauma is a result of danger and fear. That's why you do anything for Cole, because he makes you feel good. I was no different than you, and that's why I trusted him. But the difference is he was a mirage and a fraud. And while he's a fraud, deep down, his narcissistic, feeble frame is a man who cares about Roderick Strong. I'm happy you won, because I want to see a person he cares about suffer. I'm sending you back here where you belong, to your grimy little trailer park. After the match, you're going to wish your father hadn't shot your mother hadn't shot your father, but she'd shot you instead. Yeah.
Earmuffs, everybody, if you don't like swearing. Fuck this. Okay? Just say how you feel about the guy that you're fighting, as opposed to this dopey-ass comic book villain monologuing that everybody's effing doing. I'm going to go back to not swearing. Effing doing. Around you with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole and this, and then the Roderick Strong, who knows how to cut a heat building promo. Instead, this is all story time with ass. It is ass-tastic, all of this stuff. There's no emotional connection to this stuff. MJF's just trolling for the most part, which is fine, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? How about you be emotionally connected to your material for once, MJF, and maybe we could get some heat out of this and build a feud. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just, this is all the, this is all the, how am I going to put this? I don't want to put ironic wrestling because that's Jim Cornette, but it's emotionally disconnected wrestling, all of it.
Yeah, this was not MJF's best work.
No, and it was obviously, again, pre-taped in this whole thing where they did.
So like a Lady B thinks that MJF might have been in Roddy's hometown for the
promo. I thought maybe too. I thought maybe the
yeah.
I thought it was maybe the trailer park that he grew up in.
He could have started off by saying, "Hey, Roddy, you might remember this.
You grew up
here." Yeah, yeah, something like that. You know, but I don't know. And then the other thing is, like I mentioned the Discord earlier, somebody in the Discord mentioned like he had no idea about any of this stuff that MJF was talking about with Roddy. And why would we? Because Roddy is a
goof. NXT.
Roddy is a goofball that walks around saying, Adam!
Yeah, yelling random words. You know, and this whole backstory thing was explained in his babyface run on another wrestling program. No,
you know what? They did one video package. I think it was on Dynamite, but it might have been on Rampage in AW for this, where they talked about his whole story. It's the best thing they ever did for Roddy Strong, and it was never mentioned again until tonight.
And okay, this was like I remember the NXT one. I don't remember this.
Yeah, no, it was definitely here. It was I remember it because I was baffled at the time because it didn't fit his character at all.
No,
and you thought, oh, maybe he's getting a new gimmick or something. And no, it was just something they did. So here we got. Renee was with someone and Big Boom AJ, I wrote. I was told in the Discord that this was his son. I was not aware. Okay. So he said the match.
His overweight son, or they eat too much food at the food court, and now he's out of shape.
All right. So he says the match with QT is 20 years in the making. She says, you've not been in the ring for 20 years. I'm not concerned. I got one strategy. So Private Party was afraid to tell their strategy, but not Big Boom AJ. We're bringing the Boom, and I got a special announcement. When I ring QT Marshall's bell and powerbomb him in the middle of the ring, there's only one guy I want ringing
power
that bell.
Power boom him in the middle
power
of the ring.
Power boom him. Yeah, you're right. I actually wrote power boom. I thought I made a mistake. There's only one guy I want ringing the bell, and that's, and the kid says, the Rizzler, and they pose. I'm like, who the fuck is the Rizzler? What are they talking about?
Your criticisms are well done.
I have a legitimate question.
No, it's true. It's true. Okay, the Rizzler, I think, is his other kid. I don't know, but really? He's also. Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Or at least he's part of this whole crew that does these social media things. Yes, they should have explained who he was. I get that. This was the best go home promo of the entire show. Here's who I'm fighting. Here's what I'm gonna do to him, and here's what's gonna happen. That's all I need, man. It's not friggin' hard, man. It really isn't. And he, you know, I get that he's semi-professional media training, and yeah, they needed to explain to people like Paul who don't understand these dumb social media TikTok trends. No,
okay. What percentage of the audience do you think actually knows who these guys are?
I think about 75%. They've been on the Tonight Show.
Really? Okay.
The Tonight Show was because he promoted this match on the Tonight Show. He announced it on Jimmy Fallon.
Nobody
show.
Watches the Tonight Show anymore. You know that, right?
More people watch the Tonight Show than they watch this show.
True, but have you looked at the demos?
No, but I also know that it also kind of went semi-viral, and that's how I saw it.
Okay. All right. I mean,
and not from wrestling people. It's from people who go, oh, the Costco guys are going to be on AEW. Okay, cool.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to get a big rating tonight then.
But I mean, he was excited about his match. He said he got to his catchphrase. Oh. It was a perfectly cromulent.
Apparently on Voices of Wrestling, your other home, they claim that none of these guys are actually related.
That's fine, too.
Yeah.
Joe would know.
John says nobody over the age of 35 watches the Tonight Show. That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, I don't think, you know, I think it's all people that are like 60 and they put it on to fall asleep.
I think it's college kids who are insomniacs, but that's.
Oh, me. Could be. I used to watch the Tonight Show and I still enjoy it when I do, but I just never remember.
Put it this way, late night TV makes Jay Leno seem edgy.
I used to, you know, when I stopped watching the Tonight Show was around
Carson
October.
Left?
No, around October 2nd, 2019.
Was that when Conan got fired?
No, that's when AEW started. I don't have time for late night talk shows anymore because I watch 18 hours of wrestling every week. Imagine if they'd aired the Tonight Show clip.
Yeah, yes.
Or this. Put a graphic up and tell us who these guys are.
No. Lady B's got this nailed. You put them on you play the Tonight Show clip because it'll make them seem popular.
Yeah, and then later tonight we're gonna hear from them.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. So, but like you said, so then you know he did a great promo. They aired.
Great promo. I thought that was a pretty good promo.
They gave a complete segment to actually two segments. They were in two segments on the show.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, they're on the pay per view. They're wrestling on the pay per view. Apparently, it's on the pre show.
It's on the pre show because you don't want to stink up your pure work rate.
But they didn't say it was going to be on the pre show.
No.
I assumed it was going to be on the main card, and somebody said,
"I did too."
On the pre-show.
And you know what? If they had done a rundown of the card, maybe we'd have known when they're going to be on there. Because
usually they would even put a little graphic in the corner screen: Big Boom AJ versus QT Marshall on the buy-in or whatever they're calling it. Yeah. Nope. So Tony Schiavone on the ramp. He called out Roderick Strong. Max, if you were here right now, I'd ask you this: am I supposed to be ashamed? Bunch of fans chanted yes. You don't think I've heard that before? It's all people mentioned. Your mom shot your dad. Good job, Max. You made me feel like I'm in elementary school again. But don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you. I learned to get the most out of it. In order to get the most out of it, you have to earn it. And if you want to break the cycle, you have to earn it. I've earned everything I have. Look at you, Max. You've been spoon-fed everything. When something doesn't go your way, you throw a temper tantrum till you get it. Someone in the crowd screamed out, "Like a Melvin," and Matt Taven was trying so hard not to smile. When something doesn't go your way, you throw a temper tantrum till you get it. I said that already. Do something for me. Think about all those things you've done to people, manipulating, the backstabbing, the using. You're going to pay for all those sins with every chop, with every punch, with every elbow, with every backbreaker I give you on Saturday night. When it's all over, though, I'm going to have the best night of sleep in my life knowing I earned it and I broke your back and left you humbled. Isn't that like an Iron Sheik line?
That's the Iron Sheik line, yes.
And crowd was dead for this. Just dead because he cut a nice babyface promo, but nobody believes that he's a babyface. No, nobody cares about him even if he wasn't.
Exactly, because he's turned heel so many times, nobody cares.
Can't even be bothered to show up for this show. He hasn't been on the show in months. The last we saw him, he was feuding with Daniel Garcia, and now he's wrestling with Roderick Strong in a match that not a person on earth thinks he's going to win, including Roderick Strong.
Max, I'm a prick, so I know pricks, and I'm going to kick your ass because you are a prick.
Something like that. Yeah.
Move on.
And the Kingdom was out there for some reason.
<'Cause they're geeks. laughs>
Yeah, he's a babyface with backup against MJF.
Doing that dumb screaming random words thing because it's still not over anymore.
So this past Saturday on Collision, in case you missed it, they showed the Garcia Perry angle. So remember last week when Hook kidnapped
Nick Wayne.
We never heard about it again. And then on Saturday,
they're probably sitting with Britt Baker, Serena Deeb, and the Luchador somewhere.
Are they wrestling on the pay per view? I think they are.
I thought they were too.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out when we do the rundown. Anyway, so he kidnapped Nick Wayne. We didn't get any follow up. And then on Collision, Matt Menard's doing commentary and Jack Perry showed up.
You know, Paul, I think a good rule of thumb is always follow up on your felonies.
Yes. So he kidnaps him. He gets rid of him. Garcia wins the match anyways, because he's wrestling Johnny TV. And then Garcia, after the match, he goes to Tony. Where does he go? And Tony's like, he went that way. So Garcia follows him into the parking garage. Quickly, it's a 2-on-1. So Garcia and Matt Menard get the best of Jack Perry. They chain him to the roof of Perry's bus. They steal the bus and they take off into the night. And then they cut back to the announce table and he says, "Well, I understand you got more footage and you had a camera." And Matt Menard's like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, Paul, it's always smart to videotape your crimes too, because that can't be used against you.
So they go back. They're in an abandoned warehouse somewhere. The truck's running. Jack Perry is sitting in the middle of this thing with the headlights flashing in his eyes, and he's got a bag over his head, and he's tied up to a chair.
Oh, I am so begging at this point that there's a radio in there that he'll turn on and start Steeler's wheel stuck in the middle with you and Reservoir Dogs his ass.
So he takes off. Daniel Garcia takes off the thing. Matt Menard's filming all this. He He says, "You feeling good, Jack? How's that working out for you?" And he threw water on him, so he's going to do water torture. "Let's talk." And Perry said, "I thought you weren't like me. You think you're so much better?" And then Garcia says, "You think I want to be here? You tried to take this man's life, and the people in power just sat back and watched." He's not wrong. He says, "We got to take that power from you, right?" And Perry says, "Everyone's got a code. Everyone cares about what's right and wrong until they have to make a sacrifice." Garcia gets in his face and says, "You don't know what I've sacrificed. I know where I got to go, but I don't want to go there." And Perry spit on him. And then Garcia says, "I got something for you." And he goes to the bus and he comes out with a tire iron. And you think he's going to beat the shit out of, yes, of Perry with the tire iron. Perry's ready for it. He's just sitting there just ready. And then he starts beating on the bus instead. And he hits one windshield, he hits one headlight, he hits another red light. The lights are still on. He didn't even hit him hard enough to break it. And Perry laughs at him. He says, "That's all you got?"
He should have laughed at him.
And Garcia and Menard take off. They leave him with his bus. And yeah, and that was that. I will say, I appreciate the effort.
No, I don't.
The dialogue was fine. There's heat between these two guys. I want to see them fight. But this was so ridiculous.
Like, it's ridiculous. It's what movie can we imitate? Because it's, to me, it's Perry's doing the Joker from Dark Knight meets some way of like the Sphinx from Mystery Men. It's just stupid riddles that he's talking, that he thinks he's like, "Oh, I'm in your head right now, Daniel Garcia." It doesn't seem like there's a lot in Danny Garcia's head, to be honest with you. And I'm just like,
he's just mad that he didn't sign that deal with NXT.
I want the connection there, and they're not connecting. They're saying words, and instead I want Jack Perry to say, "Go on and do it."
Yeah.
Become what you're supposed to be, or whatever. That's an actual real temptation, as opposed to the wind blows like a magical force. And it's like, shut up, dude. Just talk to him. Okay.
Transferring Heat thinks that Tony should pay for the rights to In the Air Tonight for Phil Collins and play it over
like
this angle.
Like it's Miami Vice?
Yeah, that would be good.
The driving?
And he also said Stone Cold Jack Perry is a tough SOB. He stuck does in the come middle off of with you
would have been fine. And he pulls out a razor and he like cuts off pretty boy Jack Perry's ear. I'd have been fine with that.
You know what? If he grabbed a razor, he'd probably just have gone over to Matt Menard and shaved off his sideburns.
Probably.
If you don't, I'll do this to you next. All right. Renee's backstage in a literal locker room for a contract signing.
We're supposed to care about these two fighting after he on the bus. I'm baffled.
I want to see them fight. All right. So Renee's backstage in a literal locker room for a contract signing. She's wearing the conglomeration shirt. Jericho's got an obnoxious yellow jacket on. "Hi, guys." And he says, "You should know better that a man of my caliber doesn't just sign a contract that's thrust in my face. My legal team needs to look at it." Renee says, "They already did last week." And Jericho says, no, I got to get them to look at this." So he leaves, he's got the contract and he leaves out the room. The camera follows him. He says something in Japanese and smiles at himself. Then he walks past his own picture on the wall and he admires it. Says, "Look at that guy." And Ishii's stalking him. So as he's walking, Jericho keeps looking back over his shoulder and he'll like grab a garbage can and he puts it there and she just swats it out of the way. And then he's like trying to get guys to like, you know, interrupt Ishii and he's having none of it. So he follows him out to the concourse and the fans are out there. And then one of the announcers says, "Oh, maybe the lawyer's in the concourse." And then they go back into the arena. They walk down the stairs and they eventually end up in the ring. And then they get in the ring and Ishii, like dumb idiot baby face, has his back to the ramp and he gets jumped by Brian Keith and Big Bill and they take him out. That came later. Sorry. So he claimed he didn't have a pen, so he couldn't sign the contract. And then Ishii pulls a pen out of his tights and then the fans are chanting, "Stab him." But he gave him the pen. Menard said he's signing under duress. But
you know
what
would have been the dumbest joke there that they could have done?
What?
It's that at that point, Kip Sabian goes running through getting chased by Hulk. And he has the pen that he stole from Christian, and he just leaves it in the ring.
Yeah, and then he picks it up. Yeah, yeah. That would be, and then that ties into the hook match on the pay-per-view. you're a good booker. Menard says he's signing under duress. He signed a contract, so that's when Keith and Bill took him out. Jericho was about to stab him with the pin because he was listening to the fans, but Briscoe and Rocky made the save. They got rid of the heels, and Sheehy signed the contract, so that was that. So we got no Mexican luchadors, but we got 10 minutes of Jericho wandering through the building so he could sign a contract when they could have just done this in the ring.
For next Wednesday. Not even for the pay-per-view.
Right. Not once during this whole segment did they tell us when this match was.
They told us that at the end of the segment.
Did they? Okay, I missed it then.
Yes.
I assumed it was on the pay-per-view. So there you go. But you're right. Yeah, they mentioned it last week that it was on the show in Chicago because I said they were loading up that show. That's right. So they donated a lot of time for dedicated a lot of time to this match that isn't even on the pay-per-view. So Renee's in a stairwell with Jamie Hayter. She's mad that Julia Hart interrupted her interview last week. She says she's free to do that. I moved to the beat of my own drum too. And she's about to get to a point and she got interrupted again. It was another video package. So you know what? Last week I watched that video and I was totally confused, but then I watched Collision that aired before it, after it. And I saw the first Julia video. The second one made more sense after I had seen it, after I saw the first one. So I'm thinking, well, why didn't they just re-air the first one last week and then air the second one this week and then air the one they aired tonight next week? I don't know. But they aired this video and a voice in the background, I think it's Brody King, but I'm not positive. She says, time to come home. The house is your foundation. We've seen it burn. Now it's time to rebuild. She's an archer now. They said she's more strong, determined, and dangerous. These objects are just another bullseye. They called her the princess of the back throne, the keeper of secrets. You are Julia Hart, and your heart grows harder. And she was firing arrows through all this, and she hit a bunch of bullseyes. And Excalibur...
That'll go well for professional wrestling, won't it?
Oh, yeah. And Excalibur says this is a situation worth monitoring.
No. It's pretentious art house crap is what
this would be perfect on NXTCW. This is what Lyra Valkyria should be doing.
I got news for you. This is even too dumb for NXT.
I've seen some pretty dumb shit on.
I've seen some dumb thing. Look, that's the joke. Also, I've seen some dumb stuff on NXT. We don't need to match it, but they're gonna try.
I don't understand why she's going back to a gimmick she already had before she.
I
left.
Think isn't she killing off her gimmicks? Isn't that the whole point of this thing? Well, she's killed the cheerleader. She's killed the Stevie Nicks character, and now
I think she's still. Now
she's Katniss Everdeen.
And every once in a while, they intersperse these scenes where she was recreating the Sunny video from like 1996, where she's like coming out of a pool, like, or Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where she's like,
is that what she was doing? I thought she was, I thought the cheerleading segment was like the Toby Keith.
But then there was also the thing with the bathing suit and the water. You missed that? I think there's a video somewhere that aired on social media that I missed, and that was highlights from that video. Okay. I could be wrong, but so that was that. So we got the main event, Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta.
I think we've said a lot about this already.
Yeah, crowd was dead for this. Wheeler took most of this match. At one point in this match, Tony Schiavone actually said these words, let's hear it for young Wheeler Yuta.
I was baffled by that. He is the heel, Tony Schiavone. You don't have to hand it to him. He's not like, this isn't like he's in a death struggle with Orange Cassidy. He's freaking wrestling him.
Yeah, so Orange Cassidy missed an Orange punch. Then he got rolled up for two. Wheeler hit Orange with a pile driver. Another one. There was like three or four of them tonight on the show. Then he get the cat of mutilation on Orange Cassidy, but he made the ropes. Wheeler went and grabbed a chair, swung it, missed, and then Orange Cassidy just rolls him up for the win.
And then, you go.
Wheeler kicked his ass for the whole match.
Yes.
And then he got beat by a fluke.
And then
out come the Death Riders to beat on Wheeler.
No. Let's pause for a moment because there's that moment after the shocking, I'm so shocked that he rolled him up. He gets up and it looks like Wheeler's supposed to either have some moment of hesitation or he's supposed to just start beating on him. And instead he's being held back by Bryce Remsburg.
Oh, okay. I missed that because I was so baffled by this
match. It looked like they were setting up for a handshake almost. Yeah, and just dumped it.
And the funny thing was, okay, and someone else pointed out to me, they didn't go to commercial at all during this. So this will probably actually gain audience because of the way nobody's going to tune out because there's no commercial. So everyone's going to think that it's a draw, that they're draw, but it's actually just a trick that they played. So anyways, the match ended at exactly the top of the hour.
Right.
They could have just gone off the air, but no.
Yes.
No, they did 10 minutes of the Death Riders beating the shit out of Orange Cassidy. Marina had a roll of duct tape and her briefcase. Pac took the tape. Claudio forced his hands into his pockets. Pac wrapped him up in duct tape.
No one came out. Her into Marina.
Yeah. Well, they're tossing him around like they're, five seniors beating up on a freshman. Like, that's what this looked like. It was like a circle and they were all in, and their girlfriend. And they were all beating up this poor guy who had his hands.
Circle of jerks.
Yeah. And they were just beating the shit out of him. At one point, Mox is just slapping him. And then Orange Cassidy did the weak kicks. And then Mox just looked at him and punched his head off. And then he stomped his head and they left through the crowd. And you know what I was expecting? Because the camera was following them in the crowd. I was positive Darby was going to leap off some wall somewhere, but like he'd gotten killed earlier in the evening, so that wasn't going to happen.
I thought at that moment where Orange Cassidy's put on the sunglasses in defiance, oh, Mox is going to go back there and beat the crap out of him again.
There was a fair fight. So, in that point, Moxley's a good heel. He's not going to go to a fair fight.
No, I know that.
So they leave. The conglomeration finally comes out. Briscoe cut him loose. He's trying to stand up, but he can't do it. Finally gets up and he looks all defiant. I actually wrote down he looked all defiant before Tony Schiavone said he's defiant. So
he's defiant.
There's something to that. I wrote that was my exact word. Unless they were saying it over and over again, it was just
they were because that's the story they were trying to tell.
So he put on his glasses, then he put his hands in his pockets, and everyone cheered. And then they plug the countdown show again. They plug the countdown show like over and over and over again on this thing. It's Friday night after Rampage. I don't know a goddamn thing that's on Rampage. I don't think there's a collision this week, but I don't know.
What's he being defiant about, though?
I don't know.
The Death Riders are the ones that are causing trouble. Oh, he's standing up and being defiant. Okay, what does Moxley want out of Orange Cassidy?
Okay, so are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it. We're already almost over time, so let's do this.
Okay, so the matches for the pay-per-view. We got the main event, John Moxley and Orange Cassidy. Moxley's retaining, right?
Mox.
All right. Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, singles match. That's listed as second. Fletcher should win, but I
think
don't know
Fletcher
if he will.
Screws him somehow and Mark Davis is involved.
So Mark Davis turns on Will?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Jack Perry and Daniel Garcia for the AEW TNT Championship. I think the story here says Perry's got to win. I think.
And get revenge for being left enough.
No, keeps saying that Garcia's not ready. So I think there's going to come a point when he should be finishing him off and he doesn't do it. He hesitates.
Yeah, I guess this continues somehow. Perry needs something and he needs a big win, but this isn't the time.
But Perry, he has no backup anymore. I don't know where Okada is. He's dropped off the face of the earth. Bucks are gone. So it's just Perry. And Perry was supposed to be like Dominic Mysterio and be this chicken shit baby, chicken shit heel that is afraid of a fight. And he's actually like Stone Cold Jack Perry.
I could see Garcia winning if he's not in the C2 and Perry is.
Yeah. Or they could.
But that's the only way. Yeah. I think Perry retains, though.
Okay. Swerve and Lashley. I already told you what I think's happening here. I think Lashley's winning in like 3 minutes.
I don't.
Okay.
I think this will be extended.
If it goes any longer than 10 minutes, it's a mistake.
No, but they want to keep Swerve's cool. So if something's going to happen, he's going to get screwed, but he's going to lose.
I just feel like, especially if he actually is injured, it would be a good story to have Lashley just mow through him, and then you can have Swerve be out for a few months and come back and get his win back later.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like what they did with Cody and Brody Lee back in the day. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mercedes and Chris Statlander for the TBS championship.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Hey, this one. Honestly, this is the one I'm most intrigued about on the whole show. The four-way match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. They never mentioned. Oh no, they did. They had that one Pro Bowl with Private Party. Private Party versus the Outrunners versus Kings of the Back Throne versus the Acclaimed. I think Private Party's retaining, but the Outrunners should win. And if they don't, the crowd's going to churn on this match.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think either of the other two teams should win. But yeah, Private Party is easily the weakest team in this match.
And here's the dumb thing they did. Okay, if we were healing up Private Party last week, which it felt like they were doing with the entire Private Party shtick, they come back with a, hey, we're just going to give a good fight. And it's a pure babyface promo this week.
Yep. I think probably Max Caster is going to walk out on Anthony Bowens in this match, and then he'll be the one that ends up getting pinned by Private Party after.
Is this an actual four-way or is this a ladder match?
It's just a four-way.
Okay.
There's no ladder match set on, according to Wikipedia, anyways. Jay White and Hangman Adam Page, singles match, no title. I don't really care who wins.
Don't care either, but I think it's probably going to be, well, okay, who
Hangman?
Who's undefeated against who?
Jay White's like 5-1 against Hangman.
Hangman.
Yeah. MJF and Roger Strong. MJF.
Every day, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, and Big Boom AJ versus QT Marshall.
Costco guy's going to get, he's gonna probably get the biggest pop of the pre-show.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have Serena Deeb versus Britt Baker.
So there's 9 matches. Apparently only 8 are on the pay-per-view. Only 8. 1, 2, 3. 4 of them are singles matches with no titles on the line, even though this company has a million titles. This is, you know what? John in the chat earlier said, what did he say?
They're going to add 6 matches sometime during
this might. Week. They might.
4 or 5 hours on a Saturday.
He said something about, he thought, okay, wherever it was something, I think he said that this was like the weakest pay-per-view lineup he'd ever seen, and I contradicted with, well, we got Fletcher and Ospreay.
No, there was another full gear that was pretty weak, if I remember.
This is not a good show. Like, no. I'm looking at this matches, like, and they might add something to it, and it might be good, but I mean, we asked earlier about Takeshita. Where's that?
It doesn't hit any of the sweet spots for AEW. There's no match that you look at and go, the work rate's going to be great, other than maybe Fletcher and Ospreay. But that
Fletcher and Ospreay.
But yeah, that feels like it's going to be overbooked.
MJF and Strong and Hangman and White will probably be really good matches.
Yeah, like, and MJF will be a good story match because I think Adam Cole's probably coming out at some point.
Mercedes and Statlander will be okay.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, and Moxley and Cassidy will probably be pretty good.
Yes.
But, yeah, but it's not, like you said, nothing's really jumping out as, like, yeah, I got to see this. Like, it's,
no, that's not. It's a perfectly passable show that you can wait until Wednesday to see who won.
Pretty much, yeah. And, yeah, no Hook. You know, we thought we were getting Hook and Christian. No. Christian's wandering around with, like, a briefcase for a title shot that never gets mentioned. But I guess that's the idea. And I don't think it's like Money in the Bank where he has a year. I think it's the rest of his life. He could be doing this in 2030. Still walking around with this contract, calling himself the next AEW champion.
Yeah. It's...
I
don't know.
I don't know. Like, a lot of the stuff on the show tonight had nothing to do with the pay-per-view.
This might be one of those on paper, it stinks, and then we watch it, and it's great.
Yeah, it might be good if we watch it. That's the thing. Did they do their job? The November Rain video is really good, so I don't know. Oh, and then there's also the championship celebration, which...
I'm just frustrated with the booking. I really am. It's heatless wrestling and, you know, just garbage exposition to me, and it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to watch 2 hours of that every week.
Somebody was complaining the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure we'll hear it again on this show, about the crowds. And it's like, okay, at one point, is it not the crowds that are bad, but it's the company is not giving them anything to care about, and that's why they're not reacting.
I've done live performance, and I've had bad crowds, and I've crowd blamed, and only occasionally have I been correct.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on you to read the crowd and adjust accordingly. But of course, right now we can't in wrestling because everything is so hyper scripted to every moment, like to the point where we're putting pause for applause or pause for chant or in the scripts. And it's just not, no, this crowd was dead. And I agreed with them. I'm sorry.
Last week, like, they were dead for most of the show. Then Swerve Strickland and Lio Rush came out, and they had a great match, and people were into it. And then the main event, they were into. And the dead crowd all of a sudden wasn't dead anymore.
What's a match where two people hate each other? Like, and you believe
on the show, it? Jay White and Hangman.
You believe they actually hate each other?
Yes.
I don't.
I think that's
because Jay White never gets to that level.
And I think Moxie and Cassidy, I mean,
they're not showing actual hatred between the two of them, though. They're showing that Moxley is a bully. That's fine. Yeah. But
what match could have done that? And the promo last week actually went away from it was Ospreay and Fletcher. Yes. That match was one where when it started, there was a lot of heat. And then last week they made it all about, oh, we're going to have a 5-star match.
Yeah. Which is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to have a 5-star match. So if you like that, then, you know, it'll be great. But it's like, you're right. There's not the heat. I watched a 1984 Mid-South show yesterday. It was better than this.
Oh, those are good shows.
Yeah.
That's, you know, is DiBiase a heel yet or is he a babyface still?
I believe he's a babyface.
Okay.
I actually don't know if he's been on either of the two shows I've watched. I've only watched two in 1984 here. It's the first two shows of 84. An angle where Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express tarred and feathered Magnum
yes,
TA.
Yes, I saw that one. Oh, this is the Mr. Wrestling 2 Magnum TA.
Yeah. So that's been the main focus for the last couple of weeks. I don't think DiBiase's been on the show, actually. They've mentioned his name, but DiBiase.
Oh, he was part of the figure four reversal story, I think.
That was 82.
Oh, that's 82. You're right.
Yeah. That was what they were watching.
Out of here, Paul. We've overstayed our welcome.
Yeah, so Full Gear on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I think Jeremy and Kevin will probably be on with a post show later on that night, whenever the show ends, probably midnight. So you can check that out on this Fight Game Media YouTube channel. You can also listen on the Fight Game Media free audio feed. And Jeff, what do you got for plugs?
Crap Game 13 on Twitter, Jeff Hawkins at Blueski. I basically just copy everything, so just follow one. I do a show called Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network this week. War Games. No. War Games isn't this weekend. It's next week. But the bill for War Games is Full Gear is this weekend. We'll preview that. And then anything in the news, including possibly a little discussion of Linda McMahon being named as the nominee for Secretary of Education, because Chris and I are both a little bit politically wonky. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. That'll drop later this week. Apparently don't know Vader. Don't know Vader Club yet because he hasn't given it to me. But Vader Club last week was special. It was great.
Apparently, they were not aware of the Ring Boys lawsuit when they nominated her. All right, and for me, I'm on Blueski as well. You can at Paul Ace Fontaine there, same as X. I haven't been posting much, but I'm trying to, and I do enjoy the interactions there on Blue Sky on the Butterfly app. So you can follow us. There's something called a starter pack if you follow Fight Game Media, and they've got all our names in there, and whatever that means. You can open it and get all our names. I don't know what that means, but whatever it is, do it. So for Jeff Hawkins, what a plug, I'm Paul Fontaine, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.